This evening, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, bringing to you greetings from a little congregation in Ripley, West Virginia, along with an invitation to come visit us when you feel so led or have the opportunity to. I think I know a little how Moses felt when he told the Lord, "I can't speak." But nevertheless, I've been called to share God's word, and I want to do my best. Jesus, I have come to offer. He that loveth his life for my sake shall find it. Maintaining voluntary brokenness. That's kind of a difficult. Is brokenness a choice? What is brokenness? Is it a gift? Is it a talent? Is it a condition? Is it a state? It's good to ponder that. Do we have any control of the brokenness in our life? Those are just some good questions to ask. And looking over that last song, I was blessed with the song service. And I think it's worthy of touching back on it again. Jesus, I have come to offer heart and soul to thee forever. Oh, the joys that now appear. Sin, be gone. I'll not be hearing. World, I turn from you uncaring. I will not look back again. Though my heart has been divided, though my steps have been misguided, to a solid choice I'm led. Now to yield my will completely, to defer to Jesus only, night and day to serve my God. Lord, to thee I freely offer all I love, a joyful waver. See, I'm keeping nothing here. Search me, try me, prove my yearning. If to trifles I am turning, take them from me right away. What the world and flesh allure me, nothing hard shall now deter me. Christ, for thee my all shall be. If in all things I may ever in thine eyes behold thy pleasure, mine is joy that knows no end. To use for kind of a text this evening, I like to turn to Philippians chapter 3. And as we look at the title of the message, we have three big words: maintaining, voluntary, brokenness. And each one is an interesting, the three make up a challenging title. And I'd like to be very practical this evening. And in my effort to be practical, I may say things that are personal. I am not giving them as necessarily as for everyone to take as this is the best way to do it. We all are different. But in our seek and desire to find God, how we relate to that sense of need within is going to be different. But that we respond to the voice of God and we respond to our sense of need is imperative. It will bring forth action if we truly are serious. Philippians chapter 3. Paul is speaking here. I think I'll just break in verse 4. I'm afraid that clock is going to go faster than what I can travel. So I may not share as much scripture, simply to share more, just simply in an effort to share practical thoughts and ideas. And then if I share something that you find difficult, I'll be glad to go to the scripture with you later. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to simply ask some questions to get us, help motivate our thinking. As we consider brokenness, I think we need to come first to a mutual understanding. What is brokenness? I'm not asked to be here to say what brokenness is. I'm asked to be here to speak on how to maintain it. But first, what are we maintaining? What is brokenness? So as a young boy, I grew up in a Christian home, I feel I grew up in a very godly home. The Lord blessed me in where he put me as an infant. And as I grew up a normal country boy, I like to say. I don't profess to have any special gift or talent. I'm just a simple country boy. But as I came to the age of accountability, there was a sense in me that, you know, I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. And this I carried with me for some time. I remember once I was outside and we used to have a lot more. I don't know, you might have, you're up here where there's some military bases, but I grew up in Tennessee and we had military base close by and we frequently would have these military jets fly over low altitude. And it startled me one day when one came over quite low. And I actually wondered if the world was coming to an end. And I was afraid. I was afraid. And it wasn't long after that fear, just that constant pressure of fear, brought me to brokenness. There's many things that can bring us to brokenness. I can name a few. But the things that bring us to brokenness are God-given. I don't know how you are in your ministry where you're at. I hope you're having a very good ministerial life, existence, working with your co-ministry. But it's not always that way. Why? We tend to blame others. We tend to look around us to figure out why. But I found, my friends, my brethren, the best place to look is in my own heart. That's where it needs to start for me. Am I broken? Are the things that I'm facing, are they doing what God intends for them to do? Brokenness. What is a temptation in a trial anyway? What is a temptation in a trial? We say that Christianity thrives in the face of adversity and conflict, and it does. We see in history that when the government and the church sought to walk hand in hand, terrible things happened to the church. But it seems when there is adversity and a conflict, Christianity flourishes. Is it because of the trials and temptations of conflict? No. It's what they bring you to do. It's them bringing you to the feet of Christ. It's them bringing you to the Word, looking for another way, looking to find a way. You find their life and purpose and a way. And it's easy to attribute what you've just found to the trials that brought you there, but don't let the trials get the credit for what Christ does. Yes, Christ, maybe God used those, but they were but tools to bring you to life. Is that what the trials and struggles that you are facing doing in your life? Let me share this yet. As I look at the practical outworkings of brokenness and what we do to maintain that, I may repeat it. But a temptation or trial that you face without being totally broken will bring you despair, discouragement. And what Satan wants is just that. And his efforts and his desires are being fulfilled upon you. And what is the problem is that your greatest opportunity is being lost. For what God wants to show the world is what his people can do in the face of adversity, and it's not being discouraged. The power that Jesus has given, that he has revealed in rising from the grave, was a power that thrives in the face of conflict and adversity. And if the brokenness in my heart is what it should be, the effect that that trial and temptation has in my life is something totally different than when it catches me when I'm unguarded, unbroken, unprepared. What is the community, especially your brothers and sisters, seeing as they see you face struggles? And we wish the answer were simple and easy. And you know what? It is. But the work is hard. It takes discipline and effort. As we look at the scripture we read, Philippians chapter 3 there, I'd like to especially look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now I'd like to turn back to Genesis chapter 22. And we'll see an example of brokenness. Now in the portions that we're reading, we don't necessarily read the word brokenness. I've looked at all those scriptures and I would love to read them, but I'm looking more at just simply the working of what brokenness is and then how we maintain that. In Genesis chapter 22, we have here the age-old story of Abraham and Isaac. There's a lot, this chapter I've wished would be as long as the book of Genesis. There are so many things that aren't said, and so much is covered in this chapter. But I would like to read it a bit here and then make a few comments. And then we'll go into practical points of maintaining brokenness. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Was Isaac broken? According to my, I enjoy types and shadows, and in my studies here, I would be more surprised if it isn't this way than if it would, because when God reveals all things to us, I wouldn't be surprised, I'll put it this way, if we will find and see that when this happened to Isaac, he was the very same age as our Lord was, which tells me he would have been in his prime, probably around 30, actually over 30. And I stand to be corrected on that, if you can show me otherwise. Abraham, on the other hand, was 137. Well, not quite yet, probably 130. He was in his 130s. Was Isaac broken? I would have a problem believing that Isaac could not have escaped. And I rather tend to believe that Isaac probably said, Father, would you tie my feet? Tie my hands too. I don't know. But there, Isaac lay upon the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I'm going to stop there. Can you think of anything in your life that Abraham held dear than his son? Is there anything the Lord could have called Abraham to do that would have been a sore test to him? We can think of Sarah, but, you know, actually, Abraham and Sarah weren't even living together at this point. I don't know. I'm not saying that critically for reasons unknown to us. But Isaac is what Abraham had dreamed of. Is it possible that our father's heart can be broken? So what is brokenness in our life Isn't it something as we face issues? All of us have our issues to face, don't we? And as we grow older and just live our lives, we face changing issues. That at some point or another, there is an issue that looms before us. And it looks like as if things don't work out in this, everything's lost. Can we relate that a bit to Isaac here? Are we on the altar, willing to give up that thing? Can we relate to Abraham, laying his son on the altar, giving him up? But it's what the Lord calls us to do. And until we're willing to do that, we're not broken. And so, as I mentioned, as I started speaking of my life, you know, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And now, on to life as before. Sure, I'm a Christian now. I'm a child of God. But I'm speaking from my understanding, from my experience. To me, living the Christian life was just simply a working out from my heart and life in the workplace that I was in the social realm I was in the social, in the fellowship I was in. And to make a little clearer what I'd like to what I'm coming to is, in relating to a fellow brother about his business, he said, you know, the church is church and business is business. If, you know, the Lord has given me the business I have. And so if the church wants to speak into my business, they can speak to me, but it's my decision whether anything is done in the business or not. Was he broken? I'm just throwing that out. How can we know we are broken? As we look at Isaac here, we see him laying on the altar. And as he lay on the altar, he represents his dreams, his hopes, his aspirations, and he had them. I can assure you he had them. But there on the altar, he was cutting loose all of those. That's the place we need to come to. Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But it's work. And it's something we wish we could just do and be done. But it's work. So what is this thing of brokenness? Brokenness. Is coming to God, knowing that he is. There are a number of scriptures here we could look at. I'd just like to read, I think of Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But for that to happen, I have to lay on the altar. Everything I have must lay there. Jesus said unto his disciples, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What is that taking up of the cross? What does it mean? Maintaining voluntary brokenness. It is making God, intentionally making God first in everything. It's not just simply living my life and endeavoring to bring God into what I am doing. It's encompassing everything with the blessing of God and direction. And how can I find that direction? It is found through the brotherhood through conviction in reading God's word. But it is imperative that we make God first in everything. And this is a quest we'll be on all our life. And that is something I'll just share for food for thought. In that era of time back then, before I came to the conviction that there was something I still needed, that I was still lacking, I remember thinking, you know, if you just come to our fellowship meetings, if you just come to our church, you know, we've kind of got it figured out. If you want to see how it should be done, you know, just, you know, join our church. But thank the Lord, I found something better than that. There is so much more life when we are seeking something we haven't attained. We never will, this side of glory, attain the fullness of the joy and knowledge of Christ. But we have to continually seek it for food for our soul and for life. So, looking at brokenness, it is accepting the loss of all things, as we read there in Philippians 3, and counting those things but dung. Dung? What about my nice truck sitting out there in the drive? Dung? What about my bank account? $400,000 or $500,000 there. Dung? Is that how we treat it? Is that how we view it? Is that what it means to me? Loss of ownership. It doesn't mean giving away everything. And as we look at maintaining voluntary brokenness, we can seek to do it as individuals. But let me tell you, it's so much easier to maintain group brokenness than it is individual. And that makes it a challenge for many. If we truly seek to maintain brokenness. No, it doesn't mean necessarily giving away everything to others. But it does mean giving everything to God. And letting Him tell us what to do with what we have. And you know what He says? Come, I give to him that asketh of thee. Give to him that would borrow of thee. From him turn not away. I'm not going to just go into that further because that's context for a lot of discussion. But it does mean holding everything with open hands. And it's our nature to hold it like this. How do we do that? And we'll get into that a little further. Seeking His blessing in everything we have. And it's good, too, to realize that the less we have, the clearer our testimony becomes. What is the point of our testimony? Isn't it to point to Jesus Christ? And sometimes we've got so many things, it takes people a long time to figure out where our joy really is. Brokenness, it brings about a loss of control. A loss of control when we're willing for it to be that way. Things don't have to go my way, but they do need to go God's way. And many times I get into trouble thinking they should go my way. Thinking that surely I know God's way. More important than my position is how I relate to truth and to sin. So many times we think that authority lies in what I can tell people to do. Listen, authority is in living and being the truth. The authority that Christ had was lay in the fact that He was the truth. And that is something you and I can do something about. And we'll get to that here briefly, or shortly. Loss of control. Stubbornness and strength are not the same thing. but there's sometimes a fine line between them. Yes, power has more to do with truth than popularity. Truth has more to do with authority. Power has more to do with truth than popularity. Accepting the loss of all things means also giving up our law, experiencing the loss of security. It's not clinging tightly to the things that I really would like to, that would protect me from calamity. I have to remember that everything I hold, that I consider myself to be an owner of, I may have today, but I may have none of it tomorrow. Hold it as such. Remember that. All the things I have and hold today, I have no promise of tomorrow. Am I okay with that? Or am I fearful? The loss of best thing in business, in purchases. Am I willing to do with second best, third best, or you know what, even do without? Thinking of Isaac there on that altar, I cannot imagine what Isaac felt when he heard that voice and when he felt the knife cut the thongs and when he got off the altar. I firmly believe Isaac looked at life quite differently. Life was a gift. Life is a gift to you and I too. And the more that we can live our lives in a way that remind us of that fact, the better off we are. But are we willing to? And I'd like to bring in the principle of fasting here. What is fasting? If you're like I am, just the first thought is fasting is doing without food. Is there anything that limits the principle of fasting to food? As I look, I'm going to go down through some points here quickly. I'm not sure what time I'm supposed to. I forgot to ask what time we're supposed to close here. But I have a number of points I'd like to just go through now and make some practical applications. And here is where I want you to take it with a grain of salt. If you can use it, and it'll also expose me, which I don't like to do, but in a group like this, brethren, I can relate to you because we all are caught in a work and ministry that's bigger than we are. And the more pointers and tips that we can learn from each other, I trust it can be a benefit to all of us. Fasting receives far too little attention in our day and time. And we often glibly kind of look over it. You know, there's no scripture that tells us we must fast. You know why? Because if we fast because we have to, it won't do us any good, except teach us some discipline. In Isaiah chapter 1, we see God speaking of the fast, the solemn assemblies. He said, I cannot stand it. Away with it. Why? It was all an effort to receive something. It was all done with selfishness and selfish motive. But as I think of fasting, I shouldn't say that fasting, yeah, I did say that fasting just simply because we have to teaches us discipline. That's right. That's about all it does. But fasting for a greater purpose brings to us great benefit. And I don't know how many of you regularly fast. And I can't say I fast as much as I used to, but the Lord has spoken and revealed to me many things, not simply because I fasted, but because my desire was enough to bring forth fasting. And many times in fasting, we teach ourselves more than anyone else. We're not showing the Lord who we are. We're simply proving who we are. So as I think of fasting, and I look at these points, I have here these points, maintaining brokenness in social life, maintaining brokenness in communication, maintaining, then getting more personal in devotional life and in ministry. How do we do that? And I have some smaller points then in possessions, finances, health, so on. Let's quickly go through these. Maintaining brokenness in social life. Is it important what people think of me? The image I leave, what I portray as a leader in the church, is that important? I'm not saying it's not important. But if it's you making it important, you're going to fail. Your success in making it the image that it should be is in following the Lord. You have to give your reputation to God. You have to lay that on the altar. I'm not saying it's easy, because we do care about what others think of us. It's hard to get around that. We just have to let something become more important than that. And that is what God thinks of me. Acceptance of Him is the same way. We seek acceptance with others. But there's something that comes greater than that. It's acceptance into God's forgiveness and salvation. And that makes so that the varying degrees of acceptance that I feel does not need to affect me. I have found my acceptance, all the acceptance I need. That doesn't mean I ignore my fellow man. There's so much more I could say in that, but I need to keep going. Communication. Communication. Brokenness in communication. How could that be a part? Am I willing to let others? We like to say, can we set Christ set those bounds? Well, how does Christ set those bounds? Well, He gives me conviction. You know what? He gives me brethren. Am I willing to let my brethren speak into how far my communication should be and where? I really think that God has given the church, the local brotherhood, to help us in these areas. Very practical. But it can be quite difficult, especially depending on the brotherhood we find ourselves in. And so, especially as it relates to technology, this one of the first things that comes up. One of the difficulty that internet brings with it is just that. And I have found this. Remember I was talking of fast? You ever hear of a communication fast? Have you ever tried it? You may find it a blessing. There was a time when we went through a move and we were just kind of shut off. We went from having internet and a lot of social life to no internet, and we were in the hills of West Virginia. Cell phone service was poor, and until we learned what company to use, we were just kind of put there by ourselves. It was a good time for our family. As a family, it brought us together. And I must say, with where our church has taken a stand in social technology, I feel our limitations do the same thing. They keep us together as a family. There's a lot that can be learned out there. A lot of good things. A lot of valuable things. But there's something more important than knowledge. Am I willing to allow the lines of my communication to be set and established by others. Communication, that's a huge subject itself. Am I willing, in communication also, to take time in areas of responsibility? That's communicate where I need to. Communicate when I need to. And I can't speak having victory in that area. I do the best I can, but I fall so far short. Let's keep going. Personal devotional life. I don't want to miss this one. What is your personal devotional life like? I have yet to speak with someone personally that was experiencing a very discouraging and dark time that they were having a vibrant devotional life. Do you think it's related? Which is most important? As we have our devotional life, our determination and desire to have that devotional life is going to be revealed by what we're willing to sacrifice for it. Our sacrifices in life, in all of life, reveal what's important to us. Many times we think we can show the world how to use the possessions we have wisely and thus show them the way of Christ. No, the way Christ has is that we reveal and show our values by our sacrifices. For me, when I have my devotions, the sacrifice is sleep. But I tell you, devotional life is more important than sleep. Now, many will argue that. And I'm not saying that hard and fast. Because among us, there is a variation of ability to sleep. My wife and I are quite different. She struggles with ability to sleep. I can climb into bed and I can't stay awake. She gets into bed, she can't fall asleep. So I want to bear that in mind. But yet, as I get up each morning, and I'll just say this for what it's worth, I have found that getting up the same time every morning is invaluable to me. Make it a habit. And you get up at that time. And even if you went to bed late in the night, I'm not saying this always. But even if you get to bed at night, it's a good idea to get up at that established time. And if you need to take a nap, but don't go back to bed. It will help you get out of bed. And now, when I go traveling, there are short times that I don't have a means of alarm clock or something, guess what time I get up? And I like to say the Lord wakes me up. Maybe the time you like to take for the Lord is through the day. Then you get to show the world which is most important. Is it work or devotional life? Which is most important? Your life says what you think. Family time. I ran into that as a young married man. I wanted to have my devotional time, and it was time for family devotions, or maybe it wasn't even family devotions. My wife had, we had four or five young ones to get ready for school. And I was faced with the question, which is most important, my devotional life or helping my wife? And you know what my conclusion was? I need to shift my devotional time where I can do both. And as we look at our schedule, we need to do that many times. Devotional life is very important, but helping our wife is too. The Lord gave us 24 hours. If you use them right, you'll have time for both. And even for work too. It is a personal responsibility of mine to see that I have time with the Lord. The Lord will take care of the time then as we give it to Him. Something else I'd like to share. If you don't experience a time of weeping in your devotional life occasionally, you've not gone deep enough. You know, as we face temptations and trials, They can sometimes make us weep and cry. But there is a better way to get to brokenness than waiting on trials and temptations to bring us there. And you know what that is? It's in the morning, meeting the Lord right here and letting Him tell you who you are. And letting Him show you who He is. And if that doesn't bring brokenness, I don't know what will. And it'll sure save a lot of stress. And bring a lot more glory to His kingdom by finding it. And that is the core of voluntary brokenness. It is finding Him before He forces you to seek Him. And every one of us has that privilege. And if we go to that effort and discipline to seek and find Him there in our devotional life, that temptation that you'll have that day will bring out completely different results, more than likely. I have these things here. I'm speaking to a group of ministry here. I'd like to ask you the question, which is most important, these or this in the leading of the Holy Spirit? You know what? I think, and I say this again, just it's a personal thing. I think it's good to make it a goal to every now and then, at least, to speak without notes. We're probably no better than our sense of need of God. And if I have these and I don't have a sense of need of God, I need to get rid of these. Whatever takes from me a sense of need of God, I don't need. What place do notes have in message bearing? I'm not here to share that. But I am here to share that we need brokenness and we need to maintain that. And if doing without notes for a message brings it, bring it on. I've had mornings, there were years in my younger, when I served as in the ministry in Belize, when I thought I had my message all in order on the computer. And 9 o'clock, time to print out the notes. Guess what happens? Electric goes off. And I go to church without notes. It was forced upon me. And I learned that God is faithful. Can we do it voluntarily? I'll leave that for you. Notes do help. And I certainly think there's a place for them. I'm using them this evening, but I'm not using them entirely. Be flexible. Learn to rely on God rather than earthly things. I use computer a lot. I use it a lot. It's what I study with. I like that program called Power Bible. It enables me to compass scripture much, much faster. I have it in interlinear. I have it all there. And I love the abilities it gives me. But you know, one thing I do not want to do is come to the place where I say I can't do without it. If there is anything in your life that you say, I've got to have it, there's flags and bells that start going off. Brethren, we don't need anything outside of Jesus Christ. And it is one thing that makes me fearful of, you know, what internet is bringing, because many times I hear that comment, we gotta have it. Once you have it, it's kind of stuck. And I know, I'm not saying that, I know there are many of you that have it, and I'm not criticizing or judging you for that. For many, it's necessary, but the question comes up again, what is necessary? And we all have to decide that for ourselves. But I don't think that those things necessarily make anyone a sinner. And really, to be honest with you, I think it has more to do with the next generation than this. as it relates to internet and how we relate to those things. Personal devotional life. As we read, I'm not sure if I read that portion or not. Yes, we did. And I'm going to read it again. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That cross that is given us is given for the crucifixion of our flesh. Paul said, I die daily, and so do we. The cross is there to crucify the flesh. So as we die, we need to replace it with what? With life. We won't do that if we don't go to it. And this will help us crucify more. But it will be there to give us the life to replace what is gone. Ministry. Maintaining brokenness in ministry. Remember, I must remember, I don't know everything. And if I treat life and others as if I did, we're bound for trouble. We must learn all we can about a situation, both sides, before speaking into it. Because in them, in situations and troubles, unless we hear both sides, do we know? It gives us a basis to go into Scripture with. We don't look for God's will in what people say. We look for God's will in this. But we have to listen to what people say to understand the sheep. But we lead according to the needs among us and according to truth. And it is remembering that it is not me that has the answers, it's the Word of God. More important, it is more important to educate myself on my subject than to share specific points. And I'm speaking of sharing the word here. We all like, our goal is to be a minister for the glory of God, which means powerful in ministry. But you know what? Again, it's not us who makes us that. We have to give that desire to the Lord. If He wants to do that with us, the glory is His. But if He doesn't, it's a privilege to just be in His service. You know what the Lord is looking for? He's looking for publicans, not Pharisees. So many times we think, you know, am I really a sinner? I want to be a saint. Who gets to call us saints? Have you ever had your wife coming up to you and saying, I'm a good wife? But it's wonderful for the wife to hear the husband saying, I have a wonderful wife. And I like to look at it in this way too. I don't think it's for me to call myself a saint. But if I am what God wants to make of me, I am. But I'll let Him do that. I am a sinner. As I see myself in the Word of God, I am a sinner. And when I don't see myself as such is when I start comparing myself with others. I can always find someone to compare myself with. That I'm something better than a sinner. A sense of need is the most important, one of the most important things about me. And am I willing to maintain that? So looking at, just briefly, possessions. Everything I have is a gift. Isaac, when he got off the altar, everything around him was brand new. It was a gift. And in these areas of trouble, trial, and temptation we face, as we give it to the Lord, Time and time again, I've found that if I just am able to give it to the Lord, just, Lord, take it. And it doesn't always come one time. It sometimes comes with continual seeking. But when I finally feel the Lord has taken it, life is free. Life is good. I don't know what's going to come of the problem, but it's the Lord's. Possessions. Those things I have, I may lose tomorrow. I receive it as a gift, treat it as such, and give it as such. Accept the loss of things as fasting. And I like to think of it that way. If a tool is lost, if it's stolen, we have brotherhood work days, and it's not unusual. I come home and there's tools I don't have. And you know what? I rejoice because I know the tool is in the hands of my brethren somewhere, blessing them. To me, the lines of ownership should be clearer between the church and the world than they should be between us as brethren in the church. But so many times we want to, you know, what's mine is mine. What's mine is yours. If you're in God's kingdom. And I just rejoice. I'm happy to go buy another tool if I know mine is being a blessing and benefit to my brother. And if I really do need the tool, I like to think maybe doing without it will teach me something. I'm willing to do without it. It's a bit of fasting. And the least it can do is give me appreciation when I do replace it or do regain it. It's good for us to do without things long enough to appreciate them once we have them. Finances. Finances. What is the definition of success? Is it financial prosperity? No. I made it my policy here again. I'm a bit different, if you'll allow me to be that way. But in business, I have sought to make it a point not to advertise. Why? Because I want the Lord to give me the work I have. And I want it to be seen as such in my heart. Not everyone could do that. I acknowledge that. But I must say, up till today, I've never wanted or lacked for work. I've experienced slow times, but you know what? I thank the Lord for them. It reminded me that I needed Him. Let the Lord bring you what you're seeking, and His will be the glory. Finances tend to be a liability to the spiritual, just what faith is to the flesh. I don't know. I'll let you chew on that one. But finances tend to work toward, against the spiritual. And just the same way as faith seems to work against the flesh. Have I given them up? I could go on, but the time is here to close. As I think of insurance, I think insurance is actually a curse in our country. Our country is run by insurance. What is insurance? Insurance is asking someone else to carry a risk that I don't want to take. And how can I ask an unregenerate man to carry more risk than I, who have the living God to trust in? Something to think about. Am I willing to subject myself to the potential loss of what I have? Can we live above our means without insurance? Are we able to understand and know and perceive when our trust is in that rather than in the Lord? Social Security, there's probably many of you that are in part of that, but to me, I want the glory of my provision to be through God's people. The government, there are some countries where the people are required to have Social Security. It's not that I think it's a sin, but it's an opportunity to show the world that God is able, without the need, without the help of government, to provide for His people. There is so much more that I could say. But as we live our lives, the choice is ours whether we want to seek brokenness or whether we want to just let it come to us. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall fall on this rock shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Better it is to be broken than to be obliterated. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how can we express our praise and thanksgiving? How can we share with others the wonders that you have done and are doing in our hearts and lives? How can we express your great measures of provision and resource that you have poured out upon us? Lord, this evening, as we have come together in this way, there are many churches, people represented here, and they need your light, your truth. They need to be taught. They need to know the truth. And you have placed that in our hands to teach them. How can we do it, O Lord? And may we see that the first and best thing we can do is just in brokenness, prostrate ourselves before you and teach us, Lord. Teach us. Teach us your truth, that we may go forth bringing life and light to those whom we serve. Bless each heart, each life represented here this evening. And may we go forth from here at the end of this week, empowered, encouraged, renewed, and with a zeal to do all that you want us to do. Bless us with your Spirit and fulfill your work and will in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.